Well, for those who I may not have seen for a while, good to see everyone. Maybe you've been away on holiday in the summer, maybe you've been away for long weekends or whatever. It's good to be here, good to be in our, I'm going to say, our new venue. We've actually been at the base here as a building for about a year now in terms of the ground floor, but we are now in the upper room. Are we excited about that? We should be. Because this is a God thing, and God has orchestrated it for us. He's been faithful in terms of what he spoke, and it's wonderful to have the privilege of following a God who actually, who's living, who's a speaking God. We don't serve a God who of the trees. You know, some religions around the world, they worship trees and cows and animals and different aspects of creation, which don't speak, don't communicate, etc. We have a faith in Jesus Christ that is alive and living because Christ came and conquered death. Not only does God speak, but God is eternal. He's from eternity to eternity. We're part of a plan that actually spans way before we were born and long before we will finish on this earth. And that's exciting, friends. I mean, we've sung a little about it this morning, that we have a hope because of that in Jesus Christ. There's hope beyond the grave. There's hope in this life. Jesus said that the purpose for which he came was that we might have life and have it in abundance. Yeah, John 10 and verse 10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come, this is why I have come, that you may have life. Okay? So for those sitting back and relaxing on the sofas on the back row there, Jacob and the other two blokes there, don't fall asleep. The reason that Jesus came is you may have life. Yeah? And so this morning, we've started a series recently called All In, which is, and we're going to be pursuing this theme for the next few weeks, maybe a couple of months, and look at this whole thing of what it means to be part of the body of Christ, what the body of Christ looks like, what is my part in it, what is the bigger picture of what it's about, what does it mean to be working alongside each other in that body, and on mission together as a body. And it's an exciting theme. 2 weeks ago, Timo preached, and the title of his preach was, You Are Part of It. I wonder if we could put up that all-in slide, just for starters, if that's around. If we haven't got it, it's fine. And so this morning, I'm going to just pick up on that further, and I want to preach this morning about on the theme of living on purpose. And so I'd like you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 5 together. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 5. Now, Jeremiah was a normal bloke, a normal person like me and yourself. Most commentators reckon that at this time when God spoke to him or God encountered him, he was a teenager, probably in his late teens. I like to call him Jeremiah. And this is what God said to him. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. It's an amazing word. It just says, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah saying. This is what he, and his response was this, oh Lord God, I can't speak because I'm too young. But the Lord said, don't say that you're just a teenager. Don't say that you're just a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. Wow. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. And then it says, then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And an incredible call. God called him to be, as a teenager, to be part of his big story and his big plan and take his message to a big world. And I want to say that as we talk about living on purpose this morning, that every person who gets saved, every person who hears the voice of God, every person who hears the call of God and comes into the family of God is part of something so much bigger than we realize. That testimony, if you heard it in the worship time this morning at the beginning of the meeting, that I shared about a lady who gave her life to Christ on the streets on Wednesday afternoon in response to somebody sharing the gospel with her in the turning. And at the same time, in that appointment, she said to to Mike, who shared the gospel with her, that her grandfather was a minister. Mike said, I know, what's his name? And he knew him. And they phoned the grandmother, and the grandmother says, I'm on my knees right now praying for my granddaughter's salvation. And I wanted to say to you that for that lady, she has been born again into something far bigger than she realizes right now. And it goes way beyond her grandmother and granddaughter, grandmother and grandfather. She's born again into an eternal family, something that has been around a long time. It's something that originates in God. And this purpose, so Jeremiah, but God calls Jeremiah and he says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart. I appointed you and I assigned a particular task for you. Now listen to God calling your name this morning. Vivian. Jackie, Susan, Reg, Charles, Jackson, Ashley. And listen to him saying, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I set you apart to be a... to the nations. You... And part of our discovery process in our journey with God is discovering what that blank is. What have you been set apart for in the body of Christ? What have you been set apart to do in union with God, in walking with him and his people, to change the world around you? But I want to highlight right at the outset is that God knew you before you were born. We've had... Lorna, as many of you knew, our youngest daughter has just gone to London. New season for her. We prayed for her last week. And she's just finished a course at university called Performance Costume Design. And she produces these amazing designs. Where do they come from? They come from imagination. It's a gift God has given her. They come from a creative bent that God's put in her. But she dreams these things up. She researches them. But the real joy is seeing, I mean, they look incredible when you actually, my sister from Australia was here this week, and she was looking at the two design books for the two projects that she worked on. And every page she was just going, wow, wow. But there's a greater wow when you see the product of what's in her mind and in her heart on paper actually worked out in a performance and coming to life. In the same way, your Father in heaven had prepared the story of your life, the designs for your life, way before you were born. And when you were born into this world, and when you were born in again, he was so excited for the future that he had planned for you. And therefore, you should be excited too. Are you with me? This is the incredible picture or plan that we're part of. Have you ever done those I'm pretty rubbish at jigsaw puzzles. But every now and again, I'll give a bash maybe to, I did every now and in a long while, these big 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles. They're a bit of a nightmare to do, but they are impossible to do if you lose the original box. You need a picture for the puzzle pieces to be put in. And friends, I want to say to you that in this Bible, you have the picture, the plan, the purpose of God, the big picture for your life, for my life, included in his big story. But often Christians ask, Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your purpose for my life? It's the wrong question. What we need to be asking is, Lord, show me what your will and purpose is. And as we see the big picture of the box through the Word of God, that God is working everything centered on Christ. He's got a long-range plan of bringing everything together in Christ, and he is bringing people into his body to become a brilliant, beautiful, and glorious bride for his son, who are people who are deeply in love with him, people who are walking in holiness and truth, are people who are filled with his joy. Ultimately, there'll be a marriage supper that is prepared for all of those people with Jesus. That is the end goal. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. But the purpose of God is to take us to an arena one day where we celebrate together as his bride. And when we understand the bigger picture and the bigger purpose, the picture on the box, we can actually get excited and understand the privilege that this God who's so big would invite me who's so small and put me as a piece into this incredible million-dollar jigsaw puzzle. Million-dollar, million-piece jigsaw puzzle. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We're going to read verses 13 to 16. In the New Living Translation, this is what it says. David the psalmist speaking, you made all the delicate, talking to God here, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. This is the one who breathed galaxies and the universes into being. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. It's an incredible bit of scripture. You see, friends, your very DNA is compatible with the destiny that God has for you. Your personality is perfect for the purpose he has made you for. You are unique. You are rare. There's no two snowflakes the same. There's no two grains of sand the same. There are no two human beings the same. And God, what the text here says that God has woven us together like a master weaver. He selected threads of temperament, texture of character, a yarn of personality, and he has sculpted you with great precision and incredible pleasure. Why? For his highest purpose. That word in the text, where it talks about being woven together, it's the same words used in the Old Testament about how to describe the needlework in the inner curtains of the tabernacle, how those were woven together. And that was a temple that was being formed for the highest purpose, to contain and house the presence of God. And God says, that degree of attention, that degree of a care, is built into you as a human temple, a human being, because the primary purpose for God making human beings was to dwell and live in relationship with Him. Do you feel valued this morning? You should do. This is the unique message of Christianity, that the eternal Father loves you and He has an awesome plan for your life. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not a product of biology. You are loved from eternity. You are selected and known, and He has been writing out the days of your life from the eons of eternity. Da Vinci painted a Mona Lisa, Beethoven composed a Fifth Symphony, and God made one and only one version of you. And as it says in the text here, God custom made us for a particular one-of-a-kind assignment. In the secular world, secular thinking, I've often heard parents say this. People say, you can be anything you want to be. The Bible says you can't. You can't be anything you want to be. But you can be everything God made you and wants you to be. Everything that He has made and destined for you. It's a big difference. And God has an area, a zone, an arena for each one of us to thrive in. He has gifted us. He has wired us. He has put into us and sculpted us in a particular way where He has put things into our lives for purpose. And I've preached on this a number of years ago, and some of you will have seen the diagram that's about to go up. But I wonder if we could just put up that diagram, please, Ashley. Living in your sweet spot. There is a sweet spot that God has for you to live in. And that sweet spot is the intersection of your uniqueness, your everyday life, and what brings God glory. God has made you, has put things into your life to be manifest in the church and in your everyday life to glorify Him. And when we discover that, when we extract our uniqueness, when we discover our gifts, when we discover our strengths, when we discover the things that God's put in our lives up and how He has made us, it's a bit like Eric Liddell said, the athlete, when he said, when I run, I feel His pleasure. Because I know I was made for this. I was made for this. So for some, it might be an eye for detail or organization. For others, it might be the tender fingers of a care worker. For others, it might be the strong hands of a physio. For others, it might be a mathematical brain. For others, it might be caring for people in terms of nursing. A whole range of different things that God has built in to reveal the full color of who He is and His glory and His purpose to people around us. When we live in it, we sense there's a sweet sense to our lives that brings glory to God. So let me unpack a couple of scriptures on this quickly. We're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and read verses 10 and 11. And then we're going to have a quick look, if we can, at a couple of verses at the beginning of Romans 12. And look at these verses with me. Because as we talk about this thing of being all in, we've got to recognize that God has included us. And He wants us to clarify, He wants us to clarify our contribution in His body. So Peter says this, as each one, say with me, each one. Each one. each one has received a gift. That word is charisma in the Greek. Minister it to one another, serve one another as good stewards of the manifold, and that word means many-sided or colored, grace of God. Are you called to be a speaker? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then, when we do that, then God will be given glory in everything through Jesus Christ. Do you see those three circles there? Of when we discover our gifting and use it in our everyday lives and minister it to each other, then the glory of God will come and we live in our sweet spot. So let's just, and it says, so that all glory and power belong to him forever and ever. Amen. So a couple of things out of there. Very simple. And these aren't new things this morning, but friends, they're reminders because actually God wants us to raise our game. God wants the power that is within us to be released to greater measure. I just want more, yeah? And he wants more for us to be released through us because his son shed his blood for more people, for the whole world to be saved, yeah? So that the more of God working through us will bring more people into the kingdom and release more of God's power and glory to others. So each one, notice what the text says. Each one has received at least one basic gift. I'm using the word basic. At least one gift. I actually believe each one has many gifts. But we're going to, as we unpack this from week to week, we're going to discover there are many gifts. There's lists of gifts in the New Testament. In Romans 12, I'd like to call them motivational gifts. They're gifts of the Father. They're gifts that we have, gifts that he's put into us from birth. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says those are gifts we seek after we're born again. Gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 gifts there talked about, and there's other gifts in that, actually, in that, more than 9, in that 1 Corinthians 12 passage later on in that chapter. That's gifts of the Spirit we seek after. And in Ephesians 4, there's gifts of Christ to the church, which is gifts of people in terms of ministry. So there are many different gifts, but even those lists are not exhaustive. And Peter says here, each one of us has received a gift, a charisma. And then he says, it's to minister to others, it's to serve others. The Greek word there means the same thing, diakonos, to serve, to minister. Your gift or my gift is not for you or I to look good. The gift is given to be given. The gift is given to be used to serve, for the benefit of others, to actually take others to a higher place, to bring to benefit others. And I just want to pause at that moment, or this moment, and just say thank you to those in the church here who in recent times have stepped in to serve in various aspects of the life of the church, the fellowship life, the body life, in the cafe, on sound desk, in the media, in the music team. People, and those are just a few examples. The elderly project that we're starting in a couple of weeks' time, different areas of ministry and mission, the children's ministry, a lot of people stepping in there. I just want to thank you for actually stepping in, because the Bible says it's about ministering and serving one another. That's what it's about. You see, the two defining characteristics of the Christ-like life are this: serving and giving. Jesus said, I didn't come to lead servants. I came to serve and to give my life as a sacrifice and a ransom for many. Serving and giving. And as we serve and as we give of ourselves for the King and the Kingdom, we release the gifts of God in our lives. So that's the purpose of it. Also, if you read that text in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. You'll see, if you have a look at it with me, I'm just going to get back there, that the context of that those verses that we read are in the context of loving one another. Just prior to verse 10, he says, be devoted, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And then he goes on to say, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. In other words, open your home with joy. Even when you don't feel like it, open your home. Remember what we said, that the New Testament church is, it's a church of open hearts, open hands, and open. Open hearts, open hands, and open. Open hearts, open hands, and open. Yeah, that's right. I like a bit of participation in my preaching. Open hearts, open hands, and open. Homes, yeah. You see, friends, hospitality is not a gift. According to the Bible. Now, we all know people who are more gifted in hospitality. We know that, yeah? We'll come to this more when we look at Romans 12. But what the scripture's teaching us here is that this instruction is for all the brothers and sisters. We're all exhorted to love one another, and we're all exhorted to be hospitable to one another. And so the context here of releasing gifts to each other is in the context of a loving, hospitable community. And that's right through the scriptures. Wherever there's gifts, it's in the context that, and Timo highlighted this last time when he preached, in the context of we are church, a loving community following Jesus together, seeking to bring others to him. But it's a being community together. The gifts are in that context. Can I do a quick plug for our welcoming team? I hadn't planned to do this, but I forgot to do it earlier. See, hospitality should be something that we are. We have come into Jesus Christ has spread eagled his arms on a cross and shed his blood for us and hung naked on a cross and to welcome us back into the arms of a Father whose arms are wide open and wants to say to all people, all humanity, welcome home. Come out of darkness, come out of sin, come out of hopelessness, come out of shame, come out of regret, come out of guilt. Be cleansed of your sins and come into my family. And friends, we should be the most welcoming people in the whole wide world. Would you agree? Because of that. And so the elders, I'm going to say, and maybe some of the leaders, are going to maybe have a chat with one or two folk and just say, would you like to be part of this welcoming team where we welcome people on a Sunday morning? We're a bit thin on the ground with numbers on that at the moment. And because actually welcoming is a community function. Yeah. And I know it's not just about welcoming at the door. It's more than that. But we are to be that welcoming community. So back to the text here, where Peter says here that this gift that you've received, remember friends, it's God's gift, not your gift. It's God's gift or charisma. You know, we all heard of the X factor. This gift that God gives is the S factor. It's the Spirit's factor. It's the Holy Spirit factor in our lives. It's the charisma of God that is given to individuals as a particular gift. It's the extra or plus factor given by God. Arnold Bittlinger said, charisma is the free manifestation of the Holy Spirit, working in and through, both enhancing and extending the believer's natural ability for the common good of the people of God. William Barclay said, every person has his own charisma given by God. It may be for writing sermons, building houses, sowing seeds, fashioning wood, manipulating figures, playing the piano, singing songs, teaching children, playing football or golf. It is something plus God has given him. And so here's my question for each one of us this morning. What are the gifts that the Spirit and the Father have given to you? And am I willing to go on a discovery process of serving and ministering to others to discover those gifts? Because we're responsible and accountable for the gift he's given us. It's his gift, and actually the Father who loves us and has given that gift with pleasure to us, he's looking for a return on that gift, a return on the investment of that gift. He wants that gift to be used for the benefit of others. And so therefore we're responsible and accountable for it. Do you remember the story of Jesus told the parable of the talents? And he talks about somebody who had one talent, somebody who had two talents, somebody who had five talents. Now, in other words, people were given responsibility to use different amounts and produce something from it. There's no prizes for burying your talent in the ground. There's actually serious consequences, according to that parable that Jesus speaks about, for the person who buried their talent. And why would we want to do that? Actually, if you read the parable, you discover that the person who didn't use his talent but buried it in the ground had a wrong view of the master. He saw the master as austere. He was afraid of him, and so he went and buried it in the ground. The others, the one, two, and the five, they went and used it productively. Now, I may be a one-talent person and Reg may be a five-talent person, but here's the good news for me. God doesn't expect me to produce five from the one. He expects me to produce one from the one. Are you with me? In other words, what the ability and the talent that God gives you, he wants you to use to the maximum to produce as much as you can with that. Not to sit back and let it mold. Not to let it lie dormant. So don't be mediocre. Hone the gift of God in you. Discover it. Develop it. Grow in it. Do it with all your might. That's what the text says. Do it with all the strength. And here's the good news. That actually God is not only gives you the gift, but he gives you the power and the energy and the force in the Holy Spirit to be the conveyance to direct the gift with power and with life. So he not only gives you the gift in the Spirit, but he gives you the power in the Spirit to actually convey it to other people. So that in all things, he will be glorified. Let's just finish off with a couple of verses from Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want to just say this, that in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." It's a big English word. The NLT says irreversible. What that Greek word means is without regret. That's an amazing statement, friends. That actually, that each one of us who is called by God has a calling, like Jeremiah, that is significant, has gifts that are in keeping with that calling, and that's where the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes in. There is an anointing that releases the calling and the gifts of the Holy Spirit through our lives for God's glory. And God says, "I have no regret in giving those to you as my children. They are irreversible. They are irrevocable." Now, why am I highlighting that? Because the enemy cannot rob you of those gifts. I'll say that again. The enemy cannot rob you of those gifts. Those gifts are irreversible and irrevocable, and they're given. Gifts, these gifts are free. They're not earned. You can't pay for them. They are free gifts of God to you and to me. But we have to stir up those gifts. Paul said to Timothy, stir up, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, stir up the gift of God which was within you. Stir it up. The gifts do not flow automatically. We have to choose to activate them by faith. And we have to choose to discover them by serving and stepping into areas of ministry in the life of the local church. That is, God calls us out of darkness, but what he calls us into is far more important than what he's called us out of. And he's called us into a local body to serve in the local church, and he's arranged for us a sphere of ministry. And I've seen it over many, many years, decades of following Jesus, that when we discover and when we serve in the body and minister in the body of Christ, and we discover what we are good at, what we enjoy doing, what gives us a sense of pleasure, and we get feedback from others, and we start to discover our strengths and the things that we enjoy working with and the people that we enjoy working with, whether we areas of ministry and teamwork. I've seen over many, many years that has an influence not only in our walk with Jesus and our effectiveness with him in the church, but also in the marketplace where we work, because it's to be about mission as well as ministry in the marketplace. So Paul says to Timothy, it says, stir up the gift within us. And we're going to finish just now, and we're going to pray for each other. And I'm going to challenge us to pray for each other, to stir up the gift of God within us. Maybe you might be unsure on some of the gifts that God has put in your life, but we're going to say, Lord, I want you to reveal to me, and I want to step into areas of service and ministry and show me on this amazing journey, because I'm part of this big picture purpose, and I want to live my life on purpose. I don't want to just drift through life as a wandering generality. You're not a wandering nomad. You are a purposeful specific that God has made to be part of this incredible eternal body called the church, people. And as Timo highlighted the preach 2 weeks ago, we're not just here for Sundays. We're here. We're part of an eternal community that meets together day by day, week by week. And we want to be together, be with God, and we want to make a difference 24/7 in our lives, because Jesus has come for that reason, to give us life in our marriages, life in our families, life to the next generation. And it goes from one generation to the next. So here we go. Romans 11:36. And we'll just read, in the NLT. Thanks, Ash. For everything comes from God and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. And then in Romans 12, it goes straight on, and we're going to read these first two verses in the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. And I want to say, this is Paul speaking in the Message Bible, and I want to say, here's what I want us to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. And out of that context, he then starts to talk about, know yourself, have a sober assessment of your capabilities, celebrate the gifts that you have, and not the gifts that you necessarily want, but the gifts that you have. and discover your gifts and use them to the max. And he talks about the rest of that chapter in Romans 12. It's about the body coming alive. We'll do a whole preach out of that chapter in this series. But in essence, that chapter could be titled, My Body for His Body, for His Glory. It's an amazing thing that God sent His Son and He gave His body for the Father's glory, so that we could become part of His body for the Father's glory. And that individually our temples, our bodies, are temples of the Holy Spirit we can present before God on a daily basis and say, Lord, use me today for your glory. Friends, I'm expecting divine appointments to be increasing in our workplaces, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, on the streets in the city, as we've described earlier, as we say, Lord, I present my body to you. I want to be fruitful in your kingdom. And you know what? God has given all of these gifts to us so that we can be fruitful and see a multiplication of his kingdom. So that this room will soon be overflowing with people, and we'll have to have multiple meetings, not because it's about anything to do with us, but actually it's about God and releasing his love and his glory to people. Amen. I wonder if we could stand then. I want us just to pray a very simple prayer first, and then I'd like us just to pair up, guys with guys, ladies with ladies, and we'll finish and just pray for one another in this area in terms of discovering our gift, praying for each other that, and then stirring up the gift. But a very simple prayer where we're just going to pray, Lord, I choose today to take responsibility for what you've invested in my life, for your glory. I wonder if, it's as simple as that. I wonder if you could say it after me. If you want to step up and say, Lord, I want to take responsibility in this today to release these amazing gifts that you've put in my life through the Holy Spirit to the max for your glory. So just follow me in the prayer. I'll just do it in bite sizes. And if you want to say it, just say it out loud. Pray it out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you. Thank you for the gift of life and the gifts that you've put in my life. Today, I take responsibility for discovering, developing, delighting in, and dispensing these wonderful gifts to others, for the benefit of others, for the advance of your kingdom, and the glory of your name. I present my body to you. I present this week to you. And I thank you for releasing your life through me. As I step out and activate the gifts of God in me. In Jesus' name. Amen.